Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is a responsible day for the 15th of Elul. One of the issues I sort of have as I present these responsa is that when I look for a responsa to represent, I go into my Bar Ilan, I put in the date, and I have to figure out which of those responsa to present. So if they're too short, I don't generally present them unless I can group them together somehow, because they won't take up even, 20 minutes. So I feel like I'm not giving you the amount of Torah that I was hoping to give in the context of this responsible day. If they're too long, every so often I will try to cut out large chunks of them and just give what I can within a lot of time. But usually I'll leave those as well. There was a day recently I was looking for tshuva to give, and I found one tshuva by Rav Pinchas Zvikli in a Teret Paz that was, I think, 60 pages, in Microsoft Word, another one that was 35 pages, and I ended up cutting down one that was only 12 pages. So sometimes these tshuva could be quite long, and those also won't generally make it into our discussion, which means to some extent that I'm skewing our selection. It's not perfectly random, because it's random in terms of those tshuvot that fit our size requirements. Another issue is topics. Right, I generally try to find topics that we will find inherently interesting to discuss. And one of the things that I had not sort of thought about when it comes to responsa beforehand was how many responsa can end up being really very technical in important halachic ways, but not in ways that I necessarily find particularly fascinating. So you can probably conceptualize all of these things and turn them into ideas and whatever, but a lot of them are just details of halacha that are vital in terms of performing halacha correctly and acting correctly, but not in and of themselves all that ultimately interesting, it seems to me, at least maybe in my not perfectly and well-formed perspective. One of the Mishivim, about whom I've noticed that a great deal, is Rav Yitzchak Yochanan Spector. In the Ein Yitzchak, very often when I come across tshuvot of his, they are about things like how to write a get the right way, how to write a certain name the right way, and issues like that that are important for the proper writing of Gittin and allowing women to be freed and to go off and live their lives after getting a divorce. But can sound like just a question of you compile what the halacha says about it, you figure it out, and that's the way you work it out. So I thought that today, in tribute to Rav Yitzchak Yochanan and his life's work, that we would take one tshuva that has to do with writing Gittin, but wasn't, it seemed to me, too terribly technical and detailed in terms of exactly what name you write how, how many yuds and this. So this is not about that, although there are many tshuvot in Rav Yitzchak Yochanan's writings to deal with exactly that. It's also a reminder, by the way, that for all that people talk about divorce as if it's a very recent phenomenon, in my perusings of tshuvot, I find more than a few from 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 300 years ago, 400, 5 years ago. We've seen a tshuva together about by the Bach about how you decide to write the rivers near a city in a get. And that's 500 years ago, or almost 500 years ago. So it seems like divorce has always been out there. Maybe it could be that the numbers have gone up significantly and the percentages have gone up. But divorce has always been a part of Jewish life. It would seem like, at least from the evidence of the tshuvot, where the tshuvot tell us that they are dealing with these kinds of issues. So in Shut Ein Yitzchak, in Yitzchak Spector's response to Ein Yitzchak, in the second volume, Evan Ezra Simon Yud Zayin, the 17th Simon within the 17th chapter within the Evan Ezra section, which was written on the 15th of Elul of Tuf Resh Lamed Dalid of 1874. He was talking about a man who now lives somewhere else. I think it ends up in the end of the Tshuva. He lives in the United States somewhere. And he's in the new place for 9 years. In this new place, he has called himself, now he called, the word in Hebrew is Pei Aleph Lamed Kuf, like Falk. Or Pok, or I don't know, but it's a first name, as becomes clear in the course of the tshuva. And then when his letters and his documents, he signs his name as Shimon Falk. Almost like Falk is a middle name, but he often uses that middle name as his regular name that people call him. But when he's signing official things, he signs it as Shimon Falk. When he goes up to the Torah, when he gets an Aliyah in Shul, they call him Shimon ben Yehoshua. That's the way they call him in Shul. That's what he's known as, what he told people, right? And this gets into an issue that certainly in the 1800s was an important issue, but even today can still be an issue, although less so. It's more complicated today to do such a thing, but you still can do it. But how do you make up an identity? Because it turns out that they found out that when he was born, before he moved to the new place, before he moved to this American place, he was known as Avraham Yitzchak ben Ze'ev, the son of Ze'ev, and this is Ze'ev was known as wolf. So when you write people's names in a get and you want to identify them, if they have other names, you'll often put it in either as Dimitkare, who is called, or Hamechune, who is also known as, who also has another name. So his father was Ze'ev Hamechune Wolf, right? Because Ze'ev means wolf. So they used to call sometimes people in Yiddish, their name would become Wolf. Like the person that comes to mind is Wolf Blitzer, although I'm not sure he would want people to know that that's where the name comes from. But right, Wolf. So in other words, the man had a completely different name. Now, and so the person writing the letter to Rabbi Zilchanan wants to know how to write the get for this guy. Now, it's not said in the tshuva, but it seems to me there's clearly something very shady about this fellow, because first of all, he's moving from Europe to America. In America, he's getting divorced from his wife, and he switched his name completely, even in terms of being called up to the Torah. Seems like he's running away from something. In any case, but the question is, how do you write a get? And those other issues aren't relevant to this Beit Din writing this get right now, because they just want to be able to write a valid get so that the wife, so the party can go on with their lives. It says that in Gittin, or Daf Lamed Daled, it says that somebody changed their name if the place where the get is being written is a different place that the get is being given. So let's say the man is in Los Angeles and the woman is in Chicago, and he's going to send the get to her. He's going to send the bill of divorce to her in Chicago. But in Chicago, he's known by a different name than in LA, right? This was from a time when people could have multiple names and identities and nobody would know about it. So the halacha is, and it, so they say, why would that happen? Either Machmat Mardin, or Machmat Madon. Either there's something with the government he's trying to get away from something, or there's some monetary issue he's trying to get away from. So that's not our issue right now, so we're not getting involved with that, basically, what the Beit Din is saying. But they want to know what name they should use. So it's, the Gemara in Gittin says, you should use the name, right, that, and the Shulchan Aruch evidence says the same thing, that if those, the name in those two places, or those two places are in the same place, so then you write that name, whatever name was there. So let's say, take back my previous example, let's say he's living in Los Angeles, she's living in Los Angeles, he has a name in Los Angeles, everybody knows, but he also has a different name in Chicago. So the halacha is, you write the name from Los Angeles, and then the other name she'll write Dimitkare, who's also known as. And Bidi'eved, the halacha is, meaning if it's already been done, the get's been given, and it's not so simple to give another get, if it's already been done, it would be kosher, it would be a valid get, even if they just wrote the name he's known by in Los Angeles, since that's the place of the writing of the get and the place of the giving of the get, as long as there's this one name that he's known by there, and he got all the names for there, it would be valid. Bidi'eved, as the Gemara in Gittin says, and as all the Rishonim know. But if the place that he wrote the get and the place that he gives the get are different places, and they have different names, so then you have to use the name, you have to make the central name in the get, the name of the Makom Netina. So she's living in Chicago, whatever his name is known by in Chicago, should be the most prominent name in the get. And then you should ideally include the name from Los Angeles, but there you would write Mitkare, who's also known as. Why would that be? Because she's going to receive the get in Chicago. What we really want is that the people in Chicago should know who is divorcing whom, because when she receives her get, we want to be sure that she's getting her get from her husband, and then other names we'll put in as Dimitkare. Now, there was a sefer called Get Pasha, which is a well-known sefer about issues that had to do with Gittin and how to properly put them together. And this Get Pasha had noted a Rashbam that he thought was problematic in terms of what name to use, because the Rashbam in Bava Batra had been bothered by what you do if it's known that the man changed his name. The Rashbam was worried about it, and the Rashbam said, no, that you use the name of the place where the get is being written and given. But there was some issue with that Rashbam. So the Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan inspector in the Ein Yitzchak says he thinks that the Rashbam was worried about a different situation. The Rashbam seems to say, anytime you know he's changed his name, you have a problem, and maybe the get is puzzle. The get is invalid. So the get puzzle said, but the Rush disagrees, so we don't have to worry about the Rashbam. Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan says he doesn't think that the problem that the Rashbam was talking about was in general, if we know the man's changed his name. It's that, because how could the Rashbam think that? Because we have clear Gemaras that say that if this is the name he's known by in this place, and he's known by this name with this wife, and he's giving her a get, then that should be fine, right? And that's what Rashi says. It's hard to imagine the Rashbam disagreed with all of that. Therefore, the Rav Yitzchak Elchanan says he thinks no. He thinks that Rashbam was saying that sometimes you might worry that a man, now think about this, a man moves to a new place. He uses a new name as a trick. And what's the trick? He comes to the new place and he uses the name as he uses whatever name it is because he wants to give a divorce to his friend's wife. He's going to give her a get. Now, you obviously, I think, can't believe in God if you do such a thing, because Hashem knows that she'd still be married. But you come, meaning, let's say, Jack is married to Jill, right? And John wants to get involved in their marriage some way. Basically, he wants to help Jill get divorced. Now, for all I know, it could be because they're thinking they'll move together someplace else and then they'll get married, or who knows what it'll be. But what they want to do is, John is going to move to a new place and say, my name is Jack. And then he'll come to the Beit Din and say, listen, I'm breaking up with my wife. I want to get divorced. Please write a divorce for her in the name of Jack, Jack, son of so-and-so, who is divorcing Jill. The Beit Din will write out the bill of divorce. He'll have a valid bill of divorce. And then she'll come back to wherever she lives, wherever her husband is. She'll say, I've got a divorce. I can marry whoever I want now. The Rishon says that's where he thinks that the Rashbam meant. The Rashbam meant, if somebody comes to a new place and he changes his name, we know that he's changed his name, and we're worried that they're going to hatch a plot to get it. Now, in our days, it's hard to imagine that would work out very well, because the swiftness of communication would mean that if she did this and the husband came along and said, I never divorced her, she's still my wife, you would contact the old Beit Din, you could send a picture immediately of the husband and say, is this the man who came before you to get divorced? And maybe he would know it, maybe he wouldn't know it. But it would be easier. I'm not saying it would be for sure doable, but it would be easier to track down a fraud like that, although frauds persist even today. So that's what Rav Yitzchak Elchanan thought that the Rashbam was getting at. And it's a reminder of how recently, and even today it's not perfect, but how recently it was that one could really, really get away with calling oneself something else. I've often thought this about, you see wanted posters in old cowboy westerns or whatever it is, and the whole idea of how would you know who somebody is and how you would recognize somebody and how hard it could be to catch somebody, because they could just disappear and go somewhere else and then pick up a whole new life as a whole new person and not get caught for maybe forever. Maybe forever. Right. That's especially true, Rav Yitzchak Elchanan says, because the Rashbam's case was where he came to a new place, used a different name, and then after the get, if we see him going back to his old name and planning to use his old name, then we especially worry about it, especially since the tradition at one point was that as long as the person had been known that in that by that name for 30 days, that would already be the name. So 30 days is a relatively short time. So he can move to a place for 30 days, take on a new name, convince everybody that's his name, give a get, and then move away, go back to his old name, and she's got a get in hand that seems to be from her husband. And therefore, you want to make sure that you have Dimitkiri, you have all the names on it to make sure that we know. So therefore, the Rashbam thought, in that case, you would want to worry that maybe the get was necessarily possible. But without that, as long as you put in all the possible names of the person who owns, and you say Dimitkiri, that's what you can do. So therefore, Aval Kein Baror, he says, in our situation, they should write the name that he's using in that place, because this is a new place. He used it for 9 years, not for 30 days. He's been there for a while. This is what they all know him by. So that should be the name that they go by. That's the way that the Beis Yitzchak thinks the simple ruling is. Now, how do you put that in, though? Because he doesn't even have one name in the new place. He calls himself Falk in private discussions, like in personal interactions, but he calls himself Shimon Falk. So how should you write the name? So he says, this book called Torah Skitten says the name, and once again, the idea, the fact there's so many svarim written on these issues also is a reminder that these things were happening, and that it's not true that all of a sudden, in our time, people started getting divorced. So he says the name that everybody calls him is the main name. And according to that, now, so remember, this man has the name Falk, is what people call him. He signs his name Shimon Falk, and he's called to the Torah as Shimon. So the Beis Yitzchak says, the Ein Yitzchak says, same guy, but Rav Yitzchak Elchanan Spector says, Lefizet Tzichim Lichtob Falk Dimitkiri Shimon Falk. Right? So you call him Falk, who's also known as Shimon Falk, and then That would be what you would think to do. Problem is that there was also tradition that if somebody has an official signing name, that's the name they use on official documents and deeds otherwise other than here, and that's not their main name, that you wouldn't write Demitkire, that you wouldn't say who's also called about that name. I think the problem was that since that's an official name that people use, you didn't want to give the impression that it's not their official name, that you shouldn't write that name. Even though it would probably be kosher b'dieved, that was the tradition, and that's what several authorities had said. And therefore, Rabbi Yitzchak Kalman says, in our case, he thinks that what you should do is, Yichtivu Shema Chatima Mikodem, they should write Shimon Falk as the name, Dimitkare Falk, who's also known as Falk. So either the truth is that's getting it wrong, because the central name is Falk, because that's what people call this person. I don't know the name, so maybe I'm mispronouncing it, maybe it's Falk, but whatever the name is, that's the name. And the Shema Chatima and the signing name is actually the less used name. But nonetheless, since we don't like to put the mitkere about the signing name, the halacha is that if you put the tofel name first and you write the mitkere on the Dimitri that is known as about really what's really the main name, the halacha is that that get is kasher, that is get works, is valid. And the Achronim there had said that it's really only lechatchila. It is the best way to perform. It is the way to perform the writing of the get that's proper and appropriate to write the main name as the main name in the get and mitkri on the Shema Tofel. But that's only because, he says, we're worried that if they see the names are written wrong, they'll think that it's the wrong person, that it was a different, that this, it wasn't this man who stood up before the Beit Din and said, I want to divorce my wife, because it was the real Baal, the real husband, he would have written the main name first and the less important name later as Dimitri. But that's not applicable here, because we've got reasons for doing it, and therefore, it's more important, he thinks, to not write Dimitkiri about the Shema Chatima, about the official name that he uses on signing official documents, because that's the general custom, is not to say Dimitkiri about that. So he thinks that would be a bigger problem, and therefore you shouldn't do it, because that's the bigger of the problems that we have facing us. So you write Shimon Falk, Dimitkiri Falk, it'll be clear enough. So remember then that what we're worried about is the get properly and fully identify the person giving the get, right? It's a matter of identification. This is the kind of thing that I often think about in many halakhic contexts, that not the kind of thing we, as in any of us today, even the actual gedolim among us today, could change, because there's no power to simply change halakha. But these are the kinds of things, it seems to me, where I can wonder whether, you know, God willing, very soon we'll have a functioning Sanhedrin back. If we had a functioning Sanhedrin, are these the kinds of things that they might choose to take up as the kinds of things to reconsider? Because it's not, as far as I know, a din d'oraita, a Torah law, that these are the ways that one has to identify people. It's that these were the ways to identify. I mean, the halacha, I think, is that you need the shtar to properly and fully identify the subject of discussion in order to be a valid shtar. But if, since the time of the Gemara, there have become new ways to identify people that sufficiently identify them such that the shtar clearly and unequivocally tells us who it is that we're discussing, so then you'd get into the question of whether there might be room for a new, and again, I think it's a Sanhedrin question, it's not like an us question, but would there be room for Sanhedrin to say, oh, in the, you know, almost 2,000 years since the mission of the Gemara were written, we have a new way to write shtarot, to write halakhic deeds, such that they will fully identify a person. I think these are interesting questions to speculate about and to watch as if in our lifetimes we see a Sanhedrin, to watch how they would handle these questions. To close up his support for the idea that he can use the official signing name instead of the real name and then put Dimitkari about the real name, he points to another situation, it's a Kiddushin situation, but another situation where in cases when there's a halakhic problem and we can know and be confident that Rabbanan were involved in the framing of a halakhic document or halakhic situation, that we can assume that people won't be motzi laz, they won't say it was done badly, because they'll say, oh, it's Rabbanan who did it, they know what's going on, they know what's happening, and therefore there won't be any laws in this situation. But in addition, he says, you should try as hard as you can to write all the names this fellow has. As Rabbeinu Gershom had ruled that that's the way right to get. So they should write, in other words, according to Rav Yochanan, they should write Shimon Falk. That's the signing name. And you don't want to say Demitkere about that. Then Demitkere Falk is also known as Falk, because that's what people call him. And then you want to write Demitkere Shimon, right, who's also known as Shimon because he's Ola La Torah. And then he says that there's one more good reason why we might think that we can use the name Shimon Falk, because maybe Shimon Falk is really his name, and just in other situations, people have shortened it. When they call him to the Torah, they just call him Shimon, which would be interesting, because today, for example, it's usually the other way around. The people get called up to the Torah with a much fuller name than their ordinary called name. But theoretically, you could say his name is actually Shimon Falk, that's what he signs, and then people tend to call him Falk, and he gets called up to the Torah Shimon, but it's all really one name, and the main name is Shimon Falk. That would also support the idea of writing Shimon Falk as the main name in the get. So they write Shimon Falk, who's known as Falk, who's known as Shimon, and then who should also write Udimit Kari Avram Yitzchak, who's also called sometimes Avram Yitzchak, because that's the name that he was called back in Europe, right? Gam Kain Bemedina Seinu, back where Rav Yitzchak was. But then when it comes to his father's name, Uvashem Aviv, Rav Yitzchak Chanan says, he should only write Ben Ze'ev HaMechunevul, which is the name that we know of from when he was born, because he can't change his father's name. So the fact that he got called up to the Torah as Shimon Ben Yehoshua, which is like a whole completely new name that he sort of made up about his father's name, but his father was never called that. So you might have thought you'd call him, you'd write the get as Shimon Falk, who's also known as Falk, who's also known as Shimon, who's also known as Avram Yitzchak, and then the son of, so he's saying you'll write the son of Zev, who's Mechune Wolf, who's also called Wolf. And then you might have thought, who's also known as Yehoshua? But the Ritzchak says you can't write who's also known as Yehoshua, because nobody knows the father as Yehoshua. People just know this man as Ben Yehoshua, as the son of Yehoshua, because that's what he said to call him up to the Torah. So he says you can't put that into the get, because people don't have the right to change their father's name. Now that's an interesting question to think about, because the whole point of this identification in the get is to make sure that people know who we're talking about, and you can easily imagine there are people in his new residence who know him as Shimon Ben Yehoshua. So they saw a get that said Shimon Falk, let's say they'll ignore the Shimon Falk part. They say all the his names, but then Ben Avram, Ben Zev, Hamechun of Wolf, Zev, who's known as Wolf, they'll say that's not our guy. So Rizal says you can't do anything about that because he can't change his father's name. That's an interesting comment, because you could have said maybe Demitkere is one of the Mitkeres, Demitkere Shimon Ben Yehoshua. Right, who's known as Yeshua, because he is known as Shimon Yeshua. Whereas Rabbi Zacharon thinks, well, but when it comes to the father's name, you don't have the ability to do that. So you get into all sorts of issues here, which I'm not sure there's tremendous halakhic sources to support some of the questions he's quoting, so Gemara's and Rishonim and Achronim, about in terms of which things we put first, which things we put last, which things we consider the central name, right? If somebody has many names, where do we think they put their official name, and how does that count, and for what does that count in terms of a get? So these are all the kinds of things. If you wanted to say some kind of a shir about it, you could talk about this question of, is people's presentation in official formal documents more of their correct identification, or is their correct identification what their friends call them, or how they're known in certain circumstances, and what is the relationship of that to the father's name? Meaning, if your father's name is if the father's name that you tell people is really the identification that people have of you, people will know you as Shimon ben Yehoshua. So if they see a get that doesn't have the name Yehoshua in it, they won't link you to it. Then I would have thought that the answer should be you'd have to find a way to put it in there somehow. So Rav Yitzchak is saying, no, it's not true, because you can't, and that's what all the poskim say. When it comes to the woman, so her name was Hananesha in her birth name, and even when she got married, her ketubah said Hananesha, but ever since then, she's just known as Hannah, and nobody in the new place knows her at Nesha at all, so that's called a Shem Shenishtakeya, and therefore, Rav Yitzchak thinks you can just write the name Hannah, you don't have to put the Nesha in, because a Shem Shenishtakeya, a name that has completely sunk in and disappeared, you don't have to worry about it. And then he closes by saying he's writing all of this when he's out of town, because I think it's the summertime and he's still, you know, he's people used to go to resorts or to the mountains and things like that, but he's writing things that are clear to him. He hasn't checked again in the Sifrei Achronim, but this is what he just knew by heart. This is what came from him easily, even without having books with him to study on these issues. This is what he just knew, and this is the psak that he gave. So when it comes to how we identify ourselves, particularly in Gittin, where the identification is very important because the get might be invalid without the proper identification, these were the ideas that Yitzchok Cohen Inspector had for how to properly write a get when people have changed their names, when you might have to worry that means you can't write a get at all. That would be if we worried that somebody would hatch a plot to divorce somebody else's wife, meaning it wouldn't be a divorce, but that he would convince a court to write a get and she would have a get and therefore be able to free herself from her husband. That was one possibility. And then other than that, to figure out which of our main names is the main name. And then for all that, one's signing name doesn't have to be the main name. It seemed like the consensus was that you don't want to write to Mitkiri about that. You don't want to make that seem like it's a subordinate name, and therefore you would have to make that the main name, even though it wasn't actually the main name in terms of what was used, and you write to Mitkiri, who's known as for the other names that we have. And then about the father's name also, that you can't make up a father's name, even if you actually did make up a father's name. If people know you that way, that all the Achronim seem to have assumed would be irrelevant, and therefore you would use the actual father's name and not the one that this man had made up. That is a response of a day for the 15th of Elul. Some of the issues that come up in the proper writing of certain Gittin, and that's Rav Yitzchok Cohen Inspector showing us the correct way to write a get. A response of a day for the 15th of Elul. Thank you for joining us. Have a great day.